You don't have to do big things that men will remember after you're gone in order to be faithful to Christ as you lead up to the day of your death. It's so much simpler than that. You simply follow Christ where He has put you today.
God gives all of us different platforms in life as a result of our gifts and abilities. But the important thing is to be faithful to Him in all areas of your life, right up until you breathe celestial air. Well, hi, I'm Bill Wright. Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green continues the series titled, Follow Him. And Don, can those of us who are not well known for our Christian ministry really glorify God in death too?
Well, Bill, I think the key for us to understand is that God is glorified when we humbly trust His promises to us, when we believe Him and take Him at His word. For the humblest and most isolated of believers facing death, to simply say, I'm at peace because I'm trusting my Lord Jesus to take me safely home to heaven, God is greatly glorified by that, because it's a manifestation of the faith that He first planted in us when we were born again. God gladly receives into heaven the most humble believer who entrusts his sinful soul to the loving Savior. My friend, because Christ is faithful and His work for us was complete, you and I have no fear of death. Death has lost its sting. Praise be to our Savior, and keep that in mind as we open God's Word together today on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, there's certainly more to learn as our teacher unpacks John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. So let's join Don right now in the Truth Pulpit.
A seminary classmate of mine who went out with his 2-year-old son in the back seat and a ministry partner of his went out to just go to the store to get some donuts 3, 4, 5 blocks away. And it's just an ordinary thing as they're just talking ministry. And as they pulled out to make a left-hand turn, a drunk driver T-bones them at like 70 or 80 miles an hour. And in an instant, my friend had his dying pastoral companion in his arms and his son in the back seat. And he was ready. He glorified God in that moment. He survived for a few minutes, and the firemen, the paramedics came. And he did exactly what I'm talking about here today. He looked in the back seat, and he said, "You go with the firemen. I'm going to go see Jesus." He was ready. In some manner or another, God had prepared him for that moment. And his testimony was one of trusting Christ as his life ebbed out from him. I believe that God gives us grace for that hour, and so we can in advance embrace the opportunity to trust Him even in death. The way that you approach death and the way that you approach the process of dying, think with me here, listen to me, becomes the climax and the crown of a lifetime of worship to the Lord Jesus Christ that you have given throughout your life. It isn't the end in defeat, it can be the climax and the crown of a lifetime of worship to Him that says, even as all that I know passes away from me, I am going to trust and honor Christ even now. What does that trust look like? I want to be very practical here. Let me suggest a phrase. You face death, you face the process of dying with faithful courage, as long as the Lord gives you conscious thought. I realize that comas come and all of that. We're talking about what you're conscious of at the time. Faithful courage. Trusting acceptance. You commit yourself to the grace of God so fully and so unreservedly. You commit yourself to the love of Jesus Christ. Hear me now, and you trust His faithfulness and His compassion to fulfill His promise to deliver you safely into His presence. That's what we're talking about. That's how you glorify God. That at the event that scares everyone else, You are looking at it, and in your heart you are faithful and you are trusting Christ, and you say, even in this extreme hour, I trust Him unconditionally. I know that He will be faithful to me. I know that I have not believed in vain. And therefore, this matter of death holds no fear for me. And I will trust Him in this hour just as much as I trust Him in the full health of youth. That's the idea. The circumstances that have changed in your health and in your life haven't changed Christ, have they? They haven't changed His promise. They haven't changed the purposes that God established for your life before the foundation of the world. And therefore, beloved, your trust in Him does not change, even though the outward circumstances do. Now, I'm most eager for you to understand what I'm talking about here, so I want to illustrate it for you at some length. By the way, I skipped a subpoint here, identifying a subpoint. I said your duty in death. And what we were just talking about was the duty explained. You'll have to go back up. After I read John 21:19, we were explaining the duty, and the duty is to glorify God in death as you face death. That's the first subpoint. Now, the second subpoint is the duty exemplified. I'm going to give you an example from real life to help you see what we mean and what we're talking about here. When the great pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones was facing death at the age of 81 after a long illness, there are some things about his biography that just expose exactly what I'm talking about, and so I just want to make you familiar with a couple of these things from his biography by Ian Murray. When he was facing death at the age of 81, he wrote the following words to a minister friend of his. He knew he was sick. He had not been able to preach for quite a while. Death was coming, and he knew it. And here's what he said. This is exemplifying, this is illustrating what I mean by to glorify God in your death. These are the words that were on his heart that he wrote to a friend, and I quote, "In the end, nothing matters but the fact that we are in God's hands. We and our works are nothing. It is His choosing us before the foundation of the world that matters, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. More and more do I see that what we need is a simple childlike faith, just to believe His word and surrender ourselves to Him utterly." End quote. That's a man knowing that death was on his doorstep. That was a man vindicating the 40 or 50, however many years it was, of faithful preaching of the Word of God, that he meant every word that he said. He rose to the occasion and showed that it wasn't academic knowledge to him. He glorified God in his heart and in what he expressed to those around us. So how's the duty exemplified? First of all, it's trusting the Lord's faithfulness to be good to us in the end. To be good to us. As we're dying, we're trusting Him and we're certain of His faithfulness, even though we don't know what that step into the river, so to speak, is exactly going to be like. We're just so thoroughly confident that we know, even though I don't know, it's going to be more glorious than anything I could imagine. So I'll just trust Him. And I'll hold His hand as He leads me across the divide. That's the idea. But that's not all that there is. That's not the only challenge that there is to death. We trust Him for even more than the way He deals with us. We trust Him for more than the way that He deals with us. Listen to me. When it comes to approaching death, we also trust Christ for those whom we love that we're going to leave behind. We trust Him even when they depend on us for their earthly needs. They love us. We have our ties of affection. We don't know what's going to happen to them, but we trust Christ for what follows on earth after we go to heaven. And we trust Him just as unreservedly and completely for what we leave behind as what we are about to step into personally. We trust the Lord even for them Dr. Lloyd-Jones' biographer wrote this about Martin Lloyd-Jones. And by the way, he knew this from personal experience. He was with the doctor on multiple occasions during this time, so he's writing from things that he knew by firsthand experience. He said this about the way that Martin Lloyd-Jones approached death, and I quote, he says, "As with every Christian husband, father, and grandfather, he had not found it easy to contemplate leaving a much-loved family. But he now had assurance that all would be well for them. He said," meaning the doctor said, quote, "when this illness came, I tended to worry as to what would happen to them. I have been delivered from it completely." Delivered from that worry about the people that he was going to leave behind. "I have been delivered from it completely. I know that God can care for them very much better than I can, and that no longer troubles me at all." End quote. How do you glorify God in death? What does that look like? You commit yourself to the grace of God in Christ for the final deliverance of your own soul. But beloved, you go beyond that. You glorify God in all of it, all of the relationships and responsibilities that He's given to you. And as you contemplate those things, you say, "I'm going to hand those over to God as well," with equal trusting acceptance and assurance that God will deal with them well and according to His righteousness, just like He has me up to this very point. That's the idea. That gives you a sense, beloved, of how deeply it goes, the responsibility goes, to trust God and to glorify Him in everything. And it also gives you an idea of how greatly worthy He is of our trust with those things. You trust Him for your soul, and you commit those you leave behind entirely to His care. Even if they don't know Christ at the time, you trust God for what He will do, and you approach the end of life without a worry even about that. Not because it's not important, but because God is worthy of your trust. Christ is worthy of your trust. The one who shed His blood on the cross for your sins is worthy of your trust, beloved. Unqualified, unconditional surrender that says, "My heart is at peace because I know You and I trust You and You're in total control." And that enables you to approach death and think about death with a sense of absolute serenity. And when you come to that point, these are the things that you most have to trust God for. As we think about them now, we think through these issues now, it strengthens our ability to trust the Good Shepherd when we go through that valley of the shadow of death. And as you trust Him that way, you will glorify Him. Now let me say one other thing about that. By saying, "God, I trust You for who I'm leaving behind," understand this. You don't love these people any less. You don't love them less by entrusting them to the one who saved your soul. You love them just as much. This doesn't diminish the love that we have for our earthly relationships. And beloved, you don't love them any less by preferring Christ in heaven to them on earth. If you do, your thinking's mixed up and you need to get that straightened out. It's going to be better for us to be in Christ no matter what happens in earth after we're gone. And the true Christian, the one who truly loves Christ and sees His preeminent worth, is ready, willing, and able to let this life go for the sake of entering into eternal glory with the one who was crucified for us. That is because Christ is so preeminently worthy, not to diminish the ones that we love. Jesus Himself said this in Matthew 10:37. "He who loves father or son or daughter or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me." We're simply talking about an application of that principle, beloved. And so we enjoy each day here on earth as an expression of God's will for us and a gift to us. But when the time comes and He calls us to leave it behind and He calls us to the eternal purpose that He established for us before the foundation of the world, we trustingly lay these things down so that we are set to enter into the eternal reward that He has prepared for us. These are all simply outworkings of the supremacy of God, the supremacy of Christ in all things, and the priority that He rightfully claims on our true affections. That's why, as Christians, we're not meant to fear death. We don't have to fear death. You are meant to overcome it. And you can. Now, how do we do that? Understand that everything that I'm talking about and have been talking about, it is not the force of your sheer willpower. It's not grinding up the courage to do this and say, okay, now I'm ready. There's much more to it than that. Look back to verse 19, verse 18, just in general. And I ask you this question. Who is talking to Peter? Who's talking to him? Who's saying these things to him? Jesus Christ, right? Not just any Jesus Christ. The resurrected Jesus Christ. Jesus told him these things and said these things after he had already been dead himself. Now he was resurrected and he is standing before Peter as the ultimate victor over the grave. The one who called Peter to glorify God in his death was the one who had himself conquered death. And as his child, as his disciple, as the one that belongs to him, understand that his resurrection guarantees your triumph over death as well. The Bible is filled with this. I'll give you just a couple of examples. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, 14. He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory! 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 When you stand before the grave of a loved one, when you contemplate your own death, it doesn't look like victory. But because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is leading us through us, death is simply the passageway into victory. Total, absolute, unconditional victory. Resurrection. Eternal life. And there is nothing on this earth that is better than that, that even compares to that, that is even worthy to be compared to the weight of eternal glory that will be revealed to us on that day. Christ rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we trust Him completely to fulfill this promise that He says, God, I trust You, even though this is a step into the unknown in some ways, I trust that You are going to give me the victory that Your Word talks about for those who love Christ. And therefore, not only am I not afraid, I am triumphant. I am strong. I am courageous because of my confidence in Christ. And that is your birthright. If you are a Christian, that is your birthright to approach death with that level of confidence. And to not be beaten down by it. Because Christ will not abandon you. He will fulfill the promise. And that reality, rooted and empowered in the resurrection of a faithful Lord Jesus Christ, that reality lets you focus on glorifying God when the hour of death comes to you, rather than worrying about what's going to happen to me or what's going to happen to these. You can just focus on absolutely trusting Christ, knowing that He will fulfill all that pertains to you. In utter perfection, with no detail overlooked, with not a hint of unrighteousness. And when you take that step from this life into eternal life, the Bible says, he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. You're not going to be disappointed. And so why not just enjoy the first fruits, the taste of it now, and live in light of the reality that will certainly be yours? What do we do in the meantime? Point number three. How do we maintain focus? Point number three, and this is a very short one. We talked about your duty for death. Here, point number three, your duty for life. We've looked forward. We spent all of the time looking forward to that inevitable moment that will come for all of us. But here in John 21, Jesus lays forth in simple language what we do between now and then. Look at verse 19 with me again. He had signified by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, Jesus said to him, follow me. Follow me. Follow Christ. What is your duty for this life? Follow Him. While martyrdom would be the end for Peter, his duty was to go on continually following Christ, to love Him, to obey Him, to submit to Him, to be loyal to Him, to sacrifice all, even his life, in submission to His sovereign will. Get this. Get this. This is glorious. You say, well, what does that mean for me today? I'm not an apostle. I'm not going to preach the gospel and have 3,000 souls be saved in one day, most likely. Get this. You don't have to do big things that men will remember after you're gone in order to be faithful to Christ as you lead up to the day of your death. It's so much simpler than that. You simply follow Christ where He has put you today. You don't have to go out and change big things. You don't have to go out and revolutionize life and all of that. It's about faithfulness on a day-by-day basis. It's where God's providence has put you today, in the relationships you have today, the opportunities that are before you today. That is where you follow Him. You follow Christ as He's revealed Himself in His Word, in the ordinary details of life, in light of the reality of eventual death. It's not complicated. You can be faithful. You can follow Him right now. And Jesus says, after speaking about the whole specter of death to Peter, He says, follow me today. The magnificence of being a Christian. Simple obedience to Christ in daily life for the Christian gives way to an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison at death. How could we not trust Him? How could we not glorify Him? How could we not glorify Him, even in death? Follow me, Jesus says. Yes, Lord, we'll follow you straight into heaven.
So our prayer today is that in our short lives here on earth, we would glorify Jesus in all we say and do. We do so out of grateful hearts that He saved us from sin and is delivering us onto a path that will culminate in heaven. Well, friend, join me as we with great anticipation wait for that glorious moment. Pastor Don Green has more for us as he continues the series Follow Me next time on the Truth Pulpit, and we do hope you'll join us then. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
I want to let you know that we have a number of topical series available for download or CD request at our website, thetruthpulpit.com. Over the years, I've tried to address issues like the place of Roman Catholicism, anxiety, transgenderism, homosexuality, and the charismatic movement. You'll find series on those topics and so many more at our free offers link at thetruthpulpit.com. I invite you to take advantage of them all. And as we say goodbye for now, I commend you to Christ in the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. God bless you.
Thank you, Don. And friend, be sure to visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about this ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.